did, didn't I? But it was quite a showing we gave them, wasn't it? You, Death God, were my charioteer. It all comes back to me now. We were taken prisoner, and the Lords of Karma were to be our judges. You escaped them by the will death and the way of the Black Wheel. I could not.
That is correct. Your past was laid out before them. You were judged.
Yami regarded the monks who now sat upon the floor, their heads bowed, and he lowered his voice.
To have you to die the real death would have made you a martyr. To have permitted you to walk the world in any form would have left the door open for your return.
So, as you stole your teachings from the Gotama of another place in time, did they steal the tale of the end of that one's days among men? You were judged worthy of nirvana. Your Atman was projected not into another body, but into the great magnetic cloud that encircles this planet. That was over half a century ago. You are now officially an avatar of Vishnu, whose teachings were misinterpreted by some of his more zealous followers. You, personally, continue to exist only in the form of self-perpetuating wavelengths, which I succeeded in capturing.
Sam closed his eyes.
And you dared to bring me back?
That is correct.
I was aware of my condition the entire time.
I suspected as much.
His eyes opened, blazing. Yet you dared recall me from that?
Yes.
Sam bowed his head. Rightly are you called Death God, Yama Dharma. You have snatched away from me the ultimate experience. You have broken upon the dark stone of your will that which is beyond all comprehension and mortal splendor. Why could you not have left me as I was, in the sea of being?
Because a world has need of your humility, your piety, your great teaching, and your Machiavellian scheming.
Yama, I'm old, he said. I'm as old as man upon this world. I was one of the first, you know, one of the very first to come here, to build, to settle. All of the others are dead now, or are gods. Dei ex machini. The chance was mine also, but I let it go by. Many times. I never wanted to be a god, Yama. Not really. It was only later, only when I saw what they were doing, that I began to gather what power I could to me. It was too late, though. They were too strong. Now I just want to sleep the sleep of ages. To know again the great rest, the perpetual bliss. To hear the songs the stars sing on the shores of the great sea. Ratri leaned forward and looked into his eyes. We need you, Sam, she said. I know, he told her. It's the eternal recurrence of the anecdote. You've a willing horse, so flog him another mile. But he smiled as he said it, and she kissed his brow. Tak leaped into the air and bounced upon the bed. Mankind rejoices, observed the Buddha. Yama handed him a robe, and Ratri fitted him with slippers. Recovering from the peace which passeth understanding takes time. Sam slept. Sleeping, he dreamed. Dreaming, he cried out, or just cried. He had no appetite. But Yama had found him a body both sturdy and in perfect health, one well able to bear the psychosomatic conversion from divine withdrawal. But he would sit for an hour, unmoving, staring at a pebble or a seed or a leaf, and on these occasions he could not be aroused. Yama saw in this a danger, and he spoke of it with Ratri and Tak.
It is not good that he withdraw from the world in this way, now, he said. I have spoken with him, but it is as if I addressed the wind. He cannot recover that which he has left behind. The very attempt is costing him his strength.
Perhaps you misread his efforts, said Tak.
What mean you?
See how he regards the seed he has set before him. Consider the wrinkling at the edges of his eyes.
Yes, what of it?
He squints. Is his vision impaired?
It is not.
Then why does he squint?
To better study the seed.
Study? That is not the way, as once he taught it. Yet he does study. He does not meditate, seeking within the object that which leads to release of the subject. No.
What then does he do?
The reverse.
The reverse?
He does study the object, considering its ways in an effort to bind himself. He seeks within it an excuse to live. He tries once more to wrap himself within the fabric of Maya, the illusion of the world. I believe you are right, Tak.
It was Ratri who had spoken.
How can we assist him in his efforts?
I am not certain, mistress.
Yama nodded, his dark hair glistening in a bar of sunlight that fell across the narrow porch. You have set your finger upon the thing I could not see, he acknowledged. He has not yet fully returned, though he wears a body, walks upon human feet, talks as we do. His thought is still beyond our ken.
What then shall we do? Repeated Ratri.
Take him on long walks through the countryside, said Yama. Feed him delicacies. Stir his soul with poetry and song. Find him strong drink to drink. There is none here in the monastery. Garb him in bright-hued silks. Fetch him a courtesan or three. Submerge him in living again. It is only thus that he may be freed from the chains of God. Stupid of me not to have seen it sooner.
Not really, Death God, said Tak.
The flame that is black leapt within Yama's eyes, and then he smiled. I am repaid, little one, he acknowledged, for the comments I, perhaps thoughtlessly, let fall upon my hairy ears. I apologize, ape one. You are truly a man, and one of wit and perception. Tak bowed before him. Ratri chuckled.
Tell us, clever Tak, for mayhap we have been gods too long, and so lack the proper angle of vision. How shall we proceed in this matter of rehumanizing him, so as to best serve the ends we seek? Tak bowed him then to Ratri.
As Yama has proposed, he stated. Today, mistress, you take him for a walk in the foothills. Tomorrow, Lord Yama conducts him as far as the edge of the forest. The following day, I shall take him amidst the trees and the grasses, the flowers and the vines. And we shall see. We shall.
So be it, said Yama. And so it was.